Starting a new series today, the book of Ephesians, written by Rabbi Paul. We'll get to the introduction and start this letter, focusing on who Paul is, who the Ephesians are, who God is, and what some of our amazing spiritual blessings are. Some background. This book of Ephesians, along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, are sometimes referred to as the prison letters, since they were written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. For 2 years, Paul was kept in or near the barracks of the Praetorian Guard, or in rental quarters, which he paid for. Messiah's community at Ephesus probably began with Aquila, who was a Messianic Jew, and his wife Priscilla, when Paul made a stop there on his second missionary journey. On his third journey, he stayed in the city for about 3 years. And the message about the Messiah spread throughout that region of Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. The city of Ephesus was commercial, political, it was a religious center. The temple of Artemis or Diana of the Ephesians was there. Timothy led the community at Ephesus for a while, and later John made the city his headquarters. This divinely inspired letter was written around 61 AD, toward the end of the life of one of the greatest human beings who ever lived. Rabbi Paul was intense, intelligent, courageous, devoted, zealous. He was a great scholar, great theologian. Not only was he an outstanding Jewish rabbi, he was a Roman citizen. He spoke and wrote Greek, and was familiar with Greek and Roman culture. Paul was one of the greatest evangelists of all times. He was a missionary and congregational planter. He was a prophet, one of a relatively few group of men who were privileged to hear very clear messages from God and then communicate those messages to the rest of humanity. Paul was also an apostle, a special representative of the Son of God. Paul was a very special apostle among the apostle to the Gentiles, a Jewish rabbi uniquely equipped and sent to reach and teach the non-Jewish peoples of the world. Paul wrote much of the New Testament and left a tremendous imprint on Christianity and on Western civilization. In my opinion, Paul was one of the very greatest human beings who has ever lived. We should pay very careful attention to his divinely inspired writings that have been preserved for us, like this letter to the Ephesians. After his third missionary journey, Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem and sent to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. He was in confinement there, awaiting his trial, which could have resulted in his death. From there, he wrote this letter to Messiah's community in Ephesus. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Messiah Yeshua, by the will of God. Paul was an apostle, which is an authoritative representative of the Son of God. Paul was an apostle, an emissary of the Son of God, not by his own desires, not because of his own plans, his own ideas, not because of his own efforts or talents, not by the authority given to him by some rabbinical academy, but he was an apostle of Messiah Yeshua by the will of God himself. It was the desire of the Almighty God to make Paul one of Messiah's representatives. As someone raised up by God, empowered by God, sent out to represent the Son of God, Paul wielded great spiritual authority. Paul was to be listened to. Paul was to be respected. Paul was to be obeyed by the Ephesians and by us. This letter is just as relevant, just as authoritative today as it was the day this letter was first received by the Ephesians some 1950 years ago. That's who wrote this letter. Paul, an apostle of Messiah Yeshua by the will of God. Next come the recipients of this letter. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Messiah Yeshua. This letter was written to Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians in the city of Ephesus. They were holy people, saints, set apart ones, called out from a sinful world to accomplish God's good purposes, set apart by a holy God to serve him and live with him forever. That's who they were. And you know what? That's who we are too. That's who God has made us to be, holy people. And now we just need to live in a way that reflects that reality. Amen? To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Messiah. They were in Messiah, which means they were joined to Yeshua. They were united to the Messiah, who is the ultimate prophet, who speaks the words of God, the ultimate priest, who brings God closer to humans and brings humans closer to God, the ultimate king, who will rule over redeemed humanity, and the ultimate savior, who will help humanity with our greatest needs. They were in Messiah, united to the Son of God, who is united to God the Father. And you know what? We are in Messiah too, which means we are able to hear the ultimate prophet speaking to us. We are able to get very close to God, and he is able to get very close to us. We are able to submit to the king's leadership. We are able to be saved with the everlasting salvation provided by the Savior. They were in Messiah, and we are in Messiah, and all that that means. How amazing and how wonderful is that? Not only were they in Messiah, they were the faithful in Messiah. That means that this community were not only united to the Son of God, but they were faithful to Messiah. They were loyal to the Son of God, loyal to his teachings, loyal to his priorities, loyal to his community of Jews and Gentiles. What a great group of people, holy ones, faithful in Messiah. If only it could be written about us one day. The people of Shema were holy, and they were faithful in Messiah. They were truly loyal to the Son of God. After the introduction of the author and the identification of its recipients comes the greeting. It's not something shallow like one of our greetings today. Hi. Hello. How are you? Hey. This is a prayer greeting that is deeply meaningful. Grace and peace, chesed v'shalom, to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Paul is greeting them, but he's also praying that God the Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah would bless the Ephesian community with grace, unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor, and with peace, wholeness, completeness, well-beingness, everything that is necessariness. Human beings who have been so terribly damaged by the fall, and that's all of us, desperately need grace and peace that come from God the Father and from the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. What a wonderful kind of greeting. Grace and peace. Chesed v'shalom to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So much better than, hey. Understand that God the Father is not the father of every human being. Paul writes, grace and peace to you from God our Father. It's only those who are saved, only those who are faithful in Messiah, loyal to the Son of God, who can rightfully say, Abba, Father. You, great Creator God, you, maker of all things, are now my Abba, my dad, my father. Understand, too, that God the Father and Messiah the Son are equal in nature. Chesed v'shalom, grace and peace, flow equally from God the Father and from the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. It's the shared and equal nature of the Father and the Son to give undeserved favor and restore wholeness to fallen and broken creatures who are made in the image of God, especially those of us who are sons and daughters of God, who have ended their rebellion against the High King and his Son, King Yeshua. Being joint givers of the wonderful gifts of grace and peace indicates the equality of nature shared by the Father and the Son. They are by nature equally God, equally divine, equally dispensers of the divine blessings of grace and peace. Grace and peace flow equally from God the Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Equality of nature. But there's also a hierarchy of authority. God our Father is also the God and Father of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Just as a human father is greater than his son in authority in the family, the son is required to honor and obey the father. The father is not required to honor and obey his son. So God the Father is greater than the Son in position and in authority. The Father gives orders to the Son. The Son never orders the Father to do anything. The Father sends the Son on a mission. The Son never sends the Father anywhere. The Father sits on the main throne of heaven as the High King of the universe. The Son sits at the Father's right hand as King, King Yeshua, but the Son of the High King. A simple way to understand the Trinity, there's a distinction of persons. God the Father is not God the Son, who is not God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons. Distinction of persons, equality of nature, hierarchy of authority. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Paul was in prison and could be facing death. So naturally, the first thing he would address to his dear brothers and sisters in Ephesus was his concerns about his own situation. Right? And maybe complain about how unfair life was, and how he felt like a failure, and how depressed he was in that Roman prison, right? No. He begins the main part of this letter by praising God for the many amazing blessings that God has given his sons and daughters. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Messiah. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Messiah. No complaints, no feelings of depression expressed. Praising God for all these spiritual blessings. And what are some of these every spiritual blessings that Paul praised God for? He chose us in Him. God the Father chose us in God the Son before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Messiah Yeshua in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, in Messiah, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Messiah to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Messiah Yeshua. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Messiah might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Messiah when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Joined to the Son of God and having God as our Father, Christians and Messianic Jews possess every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms that exist. We are the recipients of divine grace and mercy and love, chosenness, election, salvation, redemption, forgiveness, acceptance, reconciliation, righteousness, sonship, being sealed by the Holy Spirit, being protected by the power of God, followed by everlasting life. How can we fail? How can we not give God our all when we understand that we possess every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms? How can we remain depressed when we understand these truths? Believe these truths, meditate on these truths, fill our minds and hearts with these truths, and then declare these truths? How can we feel defeated, even if our circumstances are difficult, like Paul's were, who was in prison? If we understand that every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms belongs to those who are joined to the Messiah. Let's look at these fantastic spiritual blessings in further detail. First, there is chosenness or election. For he, God the Father, chose us to be united to Messiah before the creation of the universe, with the result that we will be holy and blameless in God's sight. Those joined to the Messiah were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. It's nice to be chosen by someone good for something good. I remember when I was a kid that to form a baseball game at school, the gym teacher would pick two boys, two of the best boys, and then they would pick the other boys to be members of their team. And it was really exciting to be chosen by the captain of the team you wanted to be part of, especially if you were chosen early in the picking, which meant that the captain really wanted you on his team. It's nice to be chosen by someone good for something good. Well, we have been chosen by God the Father, who is good and wise and loving and powerful and worthy of our praise. And all of us were chosen very early in the time of choosing, before the creation of the universe. We were not an afterthought. All of us were wanted from the very beginning. We were chosen to be part of God's eternal family. We were chosen for a wonderful purpose, so that one day we will be holy, blameless, without the slightest taint or imperfection, so that we can enjoy a perfect and holy God, and he can enjoy us forever and ever. We were chosen to bring honor to God, to show how good, great, merciful, and wonderful God is. And we were chosen by God the Father, who wills these things, whose will is supreme, who works out everything in conformity with his will, so that no one is able to overcome his will and remove our chosenness and all of its implications. Yes, the Jewish people are the chosen people. But every Christian, every Messianic Jew is a chosen person, marked out by God before the creation of the universe to be holy and blameless one day, not just good in the sight of other sinful human beings, but holy and blameless in the sight of the infinitely holy God, whose moral vision is perfect. Chosen to enhance the glory and honor of the eternal God. The implications of this tremendous spiritual blessing of election, we should be grateful. We should constantly want to express appreciation to the Creator. Since we're chosen to be holy and blameless, we should have the desire to be holy and blameless now, not just sometime in the future. We should have the desire to bring him honor and praise now, by the way we live, by the values we embrace, by the priorities we choose, and by the service we give him. Chosenness. Election, the first spiritual blessing. Next comes adoption. In love, God the Father predestined us for adoption to sonship through Messiah Yeshua in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Before the universe began, it was God's plan, it was God's purpose, it was God's will, it was what he wanted, it was his pleasure to create creatures in his image who could be friends of God, companions of the Creator, but even more than companions or friends, sons and daughters. There is no greater honor, no higher position than a son or daughter of the High King of Heaven, a brother or sister of the High King's Son, King Yeshua. If you are saved, if you are a real believer, you have the highest possible status in the universe, higher than any politician or movie star, rock star, more lifted up than a glorious angel, more exalted than a mighty archangel. You are a son or daughter of the great Creator God. You have all the rights and privileges, honors, and blessings that go with that exalted status as a son or daughter of God. The implications of this tremendous spiritual blessing of adoption to sonship, being a good and faithful son or daughter of God now, not just when you get to heaven, pleasing your wonderful Heavenly Father now, assisting your elder brother, King Yeshua, now in the work of evangelism, which he is very concerned about, those outside of his community of salvation, and doing something to build up his community from within, expressing thanks and gratitude to God for his love, which motivated him to make us sons and daughters, communicating appreciation for this great gift of sonship that his grace made possible, understanding yourself based on this reality that you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, and therefore nobility, royalty, precious, valuable, worthwhile. Getting your sense of esteem and worth from your sonship, your daughtership. Living in a way that reflects the fact that you are a son or daughter of God and honors your Heavenly Father. Well, after election, after adoption, come other spiritual blessings, redemption, information, salvation, and finally, protection. Election, adoption, redemption, information, salvation, protection. But for those other spiritual blessings, you're going to need to come back, Lord willing, next week. In the meantime, I would encourage all of us to read Ephesians chapter 1.